Well, hello again. Just to say, we're hoping to restart meeting together as a church in the classrooms, hopefully as soon as next week, maybe. So please wait by your phones. So hopefully that can happen. We'll do everything we need to do to be sensible, but not fearful, hey? Okay, I want to continue what I was saying last week about love your neighbour as yourself. Now, many of us would have heard this sermon time and time again, used in different ways to articulate the same thing. And some of you may have people that you know that are difficult to love, and you go, oh no, this is the last sermon I want to hear. But I want to bring something in a way that hopefully it makes sense to you. Now, I've been reading through these scriptures. I've been looking at what it said in the Old Testament, the New Testament, what Jesus said, the way that scriptures are put together, the revelation of God, the good news, the bad news, the news about love your neighbour as yourself. So last week we was looking at love. This week I want to look at our neighbour, who is our neighbour, and next week to love the neighbour that we've been looking at as ourselves. And that may be a difficult concept sometimes, but please bear with me. All will be revealed. So I hope you get something out of today's message, something different to what you normally may hear. So please always weigh up what I say with God's word. Always weigh it up with what the Holy Spirit has already said to us through God's written word. Okay, starting at Luke 10. On one occasion, an expert of the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Now, there's a message, it's a personal thing, isn't it? What must I do? And we can ask you the same question. If you've never been asked that question, you've never been given the answer to that question, I want you to ask it and receive the answer today. What must you do to inherit eternal life? Jesus went on to say this. He said, what is written in the law? He replied, how do you read it? How do you read what has already been written? I challenge you, if you've never heard the good news of the gospel, to get hold of the New Testament and to read what Jesus did for you and how you can be saved. Amen? If you don't know what amen means, it means yes, let it be so. And if that's your answer and you've never done this, then do it today. Because the Bible says today is the day of salvation. We should preach the good news in season and out of season. So for us as Christians, let's look again at what God is saying. He answered, this is the expert, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and to love your neighbour as yourself. You have answered correctly, replied Jesus. Do this and you will live. Do this and you will live. If we look in Leviticus 19, verse 18, this really is what that portion of love your neighbour as yourself is referring to. It says this, do not seek revenge or bear a grudge. Now we understand what revenge is, don't we? And we understand what a grudge is. Now in the Old Testament law, it says do not seek revenge and do not bear a grudge. How much more in the New Testament? We'll see how Jesus lays this out for us. Against anyone among your people, but love your neighbour as yourself. I am the Lord. Anyone among your people. And when we look into this, if we look at Exodus 12:48, it says this, a foreigner residing among you who wants to celebrate the Lord's Passover must have all the males in the household circumcised, so they can become part of the community. So there were those that were uncircumcised that wanted to be part of their community. That's the people among you. And to love your neighbour as yourself really meant to love those that were in close proximity to you. That was what the neighbour was then. Those that are in close proximity to you. But here we are speaking about God's people. Now, Jesus takes it one step further, we know that, and we'll investigate that as we go along. Let's look at Luke 10, verse 29. But he wanted to justify himself, this is the expert. So he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbour? That's a good question, isn't it? Who is my neighbour? That's a question that we can ask. You can just think that your neighbour is the person living next door. Now, we know that there are some neighbours that are good, some neighbours that are bad, some neighbours that are ugly. Some neighbours that we would rather not associate with. It's not just about those neighbours that we're talking about, although it is talking about those that we come into contact with. So bear with me as we go through this parable, as we go through these scriptures. Let's see what God says to us afresh today, shall we? Yes. Open our ears and stop our ears and open our eyes. In reply, Jesus said, and he told this parable of a man going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. Now, because he's going from Jerusalem to Jericho, it's assumed that he was Jewish. And it says that this man was attacked by robbers. He was attacked, he was stripped, he was beaten, he was left for dead. And while he was laying there left for dead, a priest happened to go by. And he crossed over the other side. Then a Levite happened to go by and he crossed over the other side. But a Samaritan, Jesus said, a Samaritan as he travelled came to where the man was. And when he saw him, he took pity on him, or he had compassion on him. He showed him grace, he showed him mercy. He took him, he put him on his own donkey, he took him to an inn, he paid for his care. He paid for his care. Now Jesus is telling this story. And the expert of the law didn't even want to, I should imagine, mention the names of the Samaritan. But Jesus was giving him a parable here. So in the Old Testament, it's saying, look after those that look after you. Look after your own people. Jesus takes it one step further. He always does, doesn't he? You'll hear it in Scripture. It says, you've heard it said, do not commit adultery. But I say, do not look at a woman lustfully. You've heard it say, but I say. Jesus always takes it one step further. But when we look at these scriptures, or when I look at these scriptures, we shouldn't just polarize it. We shouldn't just look at it like this. We should look at it like this. What do I mean by that? I'll tell you. I'm glad you asked the question. To look at scripture in the entirety of the revelation that God has given us. Look at the law of first mention. Look at the context. Look at what is being said. Look at what Jesus says. Look at the life that he lived. Look at the life that he asks us to live through the Holy Spirit. Look at the whole picture, not just one story that's being told. Hopefully I'll make sense as we go along. In 3 John 1, start at verse 1. To my dear friend Gaius, in whom I love in the truth. Now we're already told to love the Lord your God. And if we're going to love our neighbours, then we need to love our neighbours in the light of the love that we have for God. Does that make sense? Let me just say that again. In order to be able to love our neighbours, we need to operate that love in the love that we have for God. It's going to be impossible, I suggest, to love people around us if we don't first experience the love of God. So what is John saying here? To my dear friend Gaius, in whom I love in the truth. Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that it may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. It gave me great joy when some believers came and testified about your faithfulness. So he's talking about the relationship that he has with this man and that this man has with God. Testify about your faithfulness to the truth, telling how you continue to walk in it. This relationship wasn't just based on hearsay, it was based on fruitfulness and faithfulness. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. He's the teacher, they're the students. Dear friend, you are faithful in what you are doing for the brothers and sisters, even though they are strangers to you. This passage of scripture is talking about, if you like, visiting ministers. Ministers or evangelists that come into the town and they're being shown hospitality and graciousness. They're being looked after, even though they're not known by the people in whose roof they are staying under. Talking about God's family here. I'm making a point, so let me go on and you'll get it, hopefully. In verse 6, they have told the church about your love. You see, because they love God, they can love God's people. That's the point I'm making here. Without the love that God has, they can't show the same love to strangers. So there is a point. Please send them on their way in the manner that honours God. It is for the sake of the name, this is the name of Jesus, that they went out, receiving no help from the pagans. We're talking about church here at the moment. We're not talking about the world, we're talking about the church. We ought therefore to show hospitality to such people, so that we may work together for the truth. I wrote to the church about Diophimus, I don't know if I pronounced that right, who loves to be first, but will not welcome us. Now, we're talking about someone who is still in the church. So when I come, I will call attention to what he is doing, spreading malicious nonsense about us. Not satisfied with that, he even refuses to welcome other believers. He also stops those who want to do so and puts them out of the church. Dear friend, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. So here we have a picture. We're talking about the love of God. We're talking about being neighborly to the stranger. But we're also talking about good and evil. There is a difference. It says, dear friend, do not imitate what is evil. We're still in the church. But what is good? Anyone who does what is good is from God. Anyone who does what is evil has not seen God. Just reflect on that for a moment. Demetrius is well spoken of by everyone, another person that loves God and loves those around him, even the stranger, and even by the truth itself. We also speak well of him, and you know that our testimony is true. You know that our testimony is true. I have much to write you, but I do not want to do so with pen and ink. I hope to see you soon, and I will talk to you face to face. Peace to you. The friends here send their greetings. Greet the friends there by name. This passage of scripture is talking about being loving and kind and faithful to the stranger. But that's the stranger that comes into the midst of those that are in church. Also talks about in the church, there are also those that are evil and not good. So there's something to think about right there, isn't it? As we learn who our neighbour is. And in Leviticus, it's talking about the person that is in front of you. In Hebrews 13:2, it says this: do not forget to show hospitality to strangers. For by doing so, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. In other words, we do not know who is in front of us if they're a stranger. If we can love God, we can love those that God put in our path. Those that are in the church and those that are outside of the church. When we look at the stranger, when we look at those that God has called us to love. In the Old Testament, it talks primarily about those that are in your community. Jesus takes it one step further in that parable about the Samaritan. Because Samaritan and Jews, they were enmity, enemies with each other. They didn't like to associate with each other. They couldn't stand each other at times. It was not a very nice form of communication when the Jew and the Gentile, the Jew and the Samaritan came into contact with each other. So it was anti everything that this teacher of the law would have been taught about the Jew and the Samaritan. When Jesus told this parable about being neighbourly, it actually went against the grain. In other words, what we're being told here in Hebrews by the writer is this: we don't know who God's going to put in our way, so treat them with respect. Treat them with respect, because we may be showing hospitality to angels. We just don't know. So this is just something to think about, the way that we act. But it's going to be easier for us to love strangers if we have a love for God. But strangers are also our neighbours. That's what we're talking about here. If we continue through the scriptures that I've written down here, and we look at Matthew 7, starting at verse 15, it says this: watch out for false prophets, for they come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. Or ferocious, it says. When we talk about ferocious, we understand what that means, that word means, don't we? So watch out for false prophets. So there may be strangers that come into our fold. There may be people that are called, we call neighbour. There may be those that move next door to us. There may be those that come into that same street or the neighbourhood. Those that say Jesus is Lord. Those that profess to be atheists. But watch out for these people, the scripture says. Watch out for the false prophets. And this is how we distinguish the false from the true. See, scripture always gives us an answer when there's a question. So we're talking about our neighbours, and who is our neighbour, aren't we? So I just want to get this into a format in which we can understand. It's not just that we should have a blanket opinion on everybody, just so that we don't give our life to anybody and everybody. The Bible is very clear here. It says we are to be hospitable, we are to be honourable to God's people, but we're also to be cautious about falsehood. By their fruit you will recognise them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes, figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, every bad tree, bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. So what is Jesus saying here? It says, the man is known by his works. So when God puts somebody who is our neighbour in front of us, then there's an opportunity to weigh up their conduct, to weigh up their motives. But going back to what Jesus said, whether we're in the church or out of the church, whether we're speaking to people who are Christians or people who are atheists, Jesus still says, be a neighbour to them. Be a neighbour to them. Matthew 15, Matthew 5, verse 11, should I say. Just before I read this portion of scripture, I want to say this to us. That when I read through scripture, when I look at Jesus' words, when I look at the way in which we're encouraged to bless and not persecute, where we're encouraged to walk forward even when people say nasty things about us. When I look at love, to love the Lord, that seems to be an easy concept. We understand we love him because he first loved us. Because he gave to us, we give back to him. Because we understand the revelation of salvation through faith, being a gracious gift to us, we understand because we didn't deserve it and we received it, that we can give that same level of favour to others even though they don't deserve it. And when we look at the story of the Good Samaritan as it's portrayed, the Samaritan that looked after his enemy, that person was in need. And I want to suggest to you that to be a neighbour to someone is to look after their needs when they're fallen on hard times, even though we may not have much in common. So it's not about putting up with everything that people say and do to us. It's not just about being maligned and being talked about maliciously. It's not even when people strike us. It's not about the forgiveness part, because God calls us to forgive because he forgave us. To be a neighbour to someone is to, when we recognise that they're in need, when they're hurting, and it's in our power to help, we should help. That's being neighbourly. We should watch out for false prophets. We should look at the good and not the bad. We should separate the evil from the good in life. And after we've done all that, even though these people, the people I'm talking about are our neighbours, the good, the bad and the ugly, even though they may not deserve our compassion, we give it anyway. But that's when they're in need. So if we see them broken down on the side of the road, we ask if they need help. If they refuse, it's down to them. If we know that they're in need financially and we can help with a food parcel, then we give it even though we don't like that person. That sounds controversial, but it's not, because that's who our neighbour is. Our neighbour is the very person that's in need. Even though everything around us in society tells us that we should steer clear from them, Jesus said, bind up their wounds and pay for their recovery. But there's a difference, isn't there? We don't have to like everybody that we come into contact with. But when we see them in need, Jesus says, be a good Samaritan. Be a neighbour to them. If we love God, we can love them. Challenging, isn't it? But if you get what I'm trying to say, I'm not saying that we should forget all the bad things that people do and say. We're to weigh it up. But when people are in need, that's when we can step in. Yes? Amen. In Matthew 5 verse 11. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. And there will be times that we are persecuted and insulted because we're Christians. Rejoice, it says in verse 12, and be glad because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. What is Jesus saying here? He's saying, listen, you will find persecution because of my name. But blessed are you. What is the blessed bit? The blessed bit is this. That regardless what people say and do towards us, regardless as how much they may ridicule us and say false things about us, we are blessed. Why? Because we know that we've been redeemed. We know that we are sinners saved by grace, don't we? We know that when we die, we will be alive with Christ. That's the blessing that we have. We have a hope, and it's in Jesus. And I want to, as we look at this, who is our neighbour, and we struggle at times, and we want to digest, excuse me, what Jesus is saying to us afresh today. I want us to look at the full truth that's in the Bible, not just look at this parable like this, that we should love everybody. But to be a neighbour to everybody is to be able to go to someone when they're in need. That's the point I'm trying to make. Regardless of what they've said or they've done. Regardless to whether they're a Christian or a non-Christian. Challenging stuff, isn't it? In John 3 verse 14, starting at verse 14. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. I want to read this portion of scripture to you and get it in proportion to what I'm trying to say about being someone that can love their neighbour. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. In other words, Jesus must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. If you believe in Jesus, you have eternal life. That's the blessed hope that we have. For God so loved the world, that's me and you, that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever, that's me and you, believes in him shall not perish, go to hell, but have eternal life, go to heaven. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but the world loved darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light, for fear of their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that they may be seen, that may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the light of God. This portion of scripture is telling us that yes, just going before that, we've been told to love our neighbour with the love that God has for us. In other words, God is there interceding for us. That's what we need to do for our enemies. There is a distinction between good and evil, things to hate and things to love. There's a distinction here between fruitfulness, isn't there? Darkness and light. But Jesus has said again in this portion of scripture, if you love me, you'll do what I say. You'll come into the light. If you're against me, you will be judged. You will be condemned. So this is not about letting people off the hook, because we need to understand that we need to leave room for God's wrath and not for us to make judgments. Although we are to judge, and that will be next week's sermon when I talk about ourselves. So this is a three part, and it will hopefully make sense when you put all three parts together. So today we're looking at our neighbour. And I want to read the scriptures that talk about judgment as well. I want to read to you what the word says in Romans 12, starting at verse 9. Love must be sincere. We can't have that sincere love for our neighbour. And remember, our neighbour can be the good, the bad and the ugly. Our neighbour can be those that are fellow Christians. Our neighbour can be those that are pagans. Those that are for God and those that are against God, they're our neighbours. They can be our enemies. We're told in the parable, aren't we, that the Samaritan and the Jew, it was the Samaritan that showed pity, that had grace and compassion, undeserved, to the stranger. That's what Jesus told the parable in the way he did. So love must be sincere. And if we're going to have that sincere love, it can only be sincere, I suggest. We can only love our neighbours, the good and the not so good, if we know that we love God. Love must be sincere. But it goes on to say this: hate what is evil, cling to what is good. So we don't throw out our faith when people abuse us. We don't have to love the evil in people's heart, but we are called to do something about it. And I'll explain what we're called to do in just a moment. It goes on in verse 10. Be devoted to one another in love. Honour one another above yourselves. In other words, put the other person before yourself. Difficult when it comes to our enemies, easy when it comes to our friends. And that's the challenge that Jesus had for the expert. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervour, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction. And these seem to be contradictory, don't they? But God's word is so encouraging to us. Listen to what he says again. Keep your spiritual fervour. Don't allow the pressures of the world and the evildoers and the false prophets and those that say wrong things about us to stop us and rob us of our blessing. Jesus says this: never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervour, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those that persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room. This is the point I want to make here. When people do evil things, when they say evil things, when they do things that are not good towards God's people, when we bless them, when we pray for them, when we pick them up off the road when they fall, when we feed them when they're hungry, when we meet their need because of the love that God has for us, we can show that same love to them. We must remember this. Do not take revenge, dear friend, but leave room for God's wrath. Evil people do not get away with doing evil things. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay. God doesn't want us to be revengeful. He says, leave room for my wrath. I will avenge, I will repay. The Lord says, on the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. Now let me say this in a different way. If your neighbour is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. By doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. In other words, if we talk about our neighbour being hungry and we give them something to eat, and thirsty and we give them something to drink, can I also say this? If we pray for them, if you have someone in your life that you're finding it hard to communicate the love of God to, if you have a physical neighbour that you don't get on with, if you have somebody in your community that is abusive, and this message is saying you're to be righteous, you're to be loving, you're to be kind, you're to be patient to that person, and you struggle, then when we pray for them, it's like heaping burning coals on their head. Just imagine, we can do one of two things. We can either say, Lord, my neighbour is a stinking rotten sinner and they're going to hell, and good. Or we can say, Lord, you understand the difficulty I have with my neighbour, And remember, your neighbour is the person that's in front of you. But according to the parable, it's the person that's in need in front of you. We are to weigh up what is good and what is evil. We're to stay away from evil. We are to stay away from the false prophet. God's word says that. It's not for us to judge. It's for God to judge. But when we see our enemies and the enemies of God in need, Jesus takes it to another level. He says, feed them, nurture them, and pay for their recovery. But leave room for me, because I'll judge. And as we pray for our neighbour, we can say things like, Lord, you know my situation. Let's pray for those that are we're called to be neighbours to. Let's pray now together. Say amen if you agree with this sentiment. I'm talking about the neighbour that we find difficult. The neighbour that we find is going to be a challenge for us to love in the way that God loves us. So let's pray for those people. Father God, you know the neighbour that comes to mind. You know the person that I'm having difficulty with. The person that is slandering me, Lord. The person that is being unkind and saying some untruths. The person that seems to be vindictive and against the light. For Lord, I want you to soften my heart, creating me a clean spirit, Lord. That I may pray in a way that would bless this person. That they would see the light of the love of the Lord in me. And that ultimately they will come to faith in Jesus Christ. So Father God, soften my heart and also soften their heart, Lord. I pray for them that you would bring about a healing. Lord, if there's a hurt in their lives, give me revelation that I may pray in accordance to your will for them. So I give my neighbour to you today, Lord. And I ask you, Father God, to bless them and encourage them and enlarge them, Father God. Open their eyes and unstop their ears that they may see the love of the light. They may see the light of the love of the Lord in their lives. That, Father God, that you would pull them from darkness and push them into light. That, Father God, they would feed upon your word and be blessed. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. That's what it's called to love your neighbour. There's things we can do practically, but God says you can also do it spiritually. When you do it spiritually, when you pray for them, it's like heaping burning coals on their head. The burning coals is the revelation of God, the love of the Lord. I'll leave you with this scripture as I look forward to meeting hopefully next week in the classroom and we bring the third installment of this message. Luke 10 verse 36. Which of these three do you think was a neighbour? This is a question Jesus is asking to a neighbour, to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers. Which of the three? Was it the religious people? Those that understood the law? Or was it the Samaritan that in all intents and purposes was the enemy of the man who fell into the hands of the robber? Well, listen to what Jesus says. Listen what the expert says. The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Mercy or grace. We understand what mercy is. When a man or a woman would fall on the mercy of the king or the judge, the king or the judge would have power to execute that person. And if they begged for mercy, then he also had the power to allow them to live. They didn't deserve it, but he had the power to give them. Now, favour is the same. Favour is undeserved. We don't deserve it, but God gives it to us. See, God gives us his favour. We haven't earned it, we've received it. And because we've received it, then I believe if we love God, then we can love others. Love your neighbour. We can love those that seem to be unlovable. We can show mercy. And please hear what I'm saying. I'm not excusing people's attitude, and nor should you. But we shouldn't take revenge. We should pray for them. We should pray for them and ask God to reveal his love and his salvation to them. Ask God that he would convict them of their sin and unrighteousness. That's a good thing to do. But do it with the right heart, because you want them to be set free, not because you want them to be in turmoil. Expert of the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. So when we look at the love of God, when we look at our neighbour. Jesus has told us who our neighbour is. It's the person that he places in front of us, whether good, bad, or ugly. And he says to us, if they're in need, help. Show them mercy, just as I've shown you mercy. So I think this is a good word if we put it into context. If we look again at love, we look afresh at our neighbour, and next week we look at loving our neighbour as ourselves. I think when we put these three together, we'll get a balanced view of how we should act and react as Christians. So just before I go, I want to say afresh that there is a big difference between good and evil, darkness and light. There's a difference between the true prophet and the false prophet. There's a difference between people being in need and those that are not in need. There's a difference between bearing a grudge and taking revenge and praying for our enemies. Bear that in mind as you ponder on this word. Hopefully that challenged you and encouraged you. Remember, you have hope. You have an eternal perspective. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And if you're saying to yourself, this is difficult, then ask him to help. Amen.